Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Game Week 29 of Fantasy Football Noise. With me this evening, as always, is the effervescent Steve Baker.
Hello, Jonathan.
And the resurgent Wayne Mitchell.
Resurgent indeed. Good evening. Hello.
You both well, chaps?
On top of the world. Thank you very much.
Absolutely smashing. And it shall all become clear why.
So on tonight's show, we're going to obviously review Game Week 29 and our head-to-head and all things that were discussed last week. We'll also look ahead, as we probably will now, between now and the end of the season, all the blank game weeks and double game weeks that are upcoming. And if we've got time and patience, we will talk about captains as well. So without further ado, how was Game Week 29 for both of you guys?
Should I start? Because I'm likely to be last.
I think I was last.
Neither of us did particularly well. So I called Swansea West Ham. So that's great, and we won 4-1, and I'm absolutely delighted. But I called the wrong midfielder. So I'm literally hovering, on Saturday morning over Key and Klukas.
Oh.
And I've gone Klukas.
Oh.
So on the positive, I've got 2.8 million in the bank. On the positive, I've got green arrows, but it wasn't the weekend I was looking for. I went Kane rather than Salah, captain-wise. Mm-hmm. Bloody Trippier. Cocking Trippier doesn't start again for Spurs. That's 2 weeks. I must change that now.
I was going to say, presumably that's him gone.
That's him out and now ever present for the rest of the season, inevitably.
Did Aurier start instead again?
Oh, don't even mention that word. So 53 points all in all. Not bad. Green arrows, as I said, but could have been so much better. Could have been mid-60s.
Not bad at all. Above the average.
How'd you get on, Jay?
I was dead on the average, 46.
Oof.
So, no, pretty shit, really. Salah captain. Van Dijk got me a clean sheet. Goodmanson got me an assist. Firmino got me an assist. It was a lovely assist too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Rest just rubbish.
Did you not have Robertson?
I'm quite frankly amazed it adds up to 46. I have not got Robertson. No, I went for Van Dijk.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry.
I mentioned to you a couple of weeks ago that I wanted the safety of that, but yeah. Robertson's looking pretty safe so far, I have to say.
So what could you have done differently, Jay? Were you almost making another choice, choosing another path for Game Week 29?
I didn't make any transfers this week. I wanted to keep two in my pocket for next week. Don't know, just one of those weeks where on paper it looked like it could do all right, but nobody did very well. Hazard and Alonso made my Sunday afternoon very boring. 2 points each. I think I'm probably going to have to think about shifting Alonso. Been a while since he chipped in with much.
He needs to score, really, doesn't he?
That's what he's in the team to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chelsea have stopped keeping clean sheets for a while, haven't they? And
with all that money. Let's stop being depressing. Let's go over to the star of the show, Wayne Mitchell.
Let's do it. How did you get on, Mitch?
Don't stop believing. 60 points. Thank you very much.
Well done, mate. What went right for you?
Should I talk you through my team?
Yeah, come on.
He is resurgent.
Do you know, it was a week of averages, I think. So I'll just quickly talk you through it. Begovic, 3, and then at the back, Mawson, 2, Otamendi, 6, Robertson, 6, Loughton, 7. In the midfield, actually very average, apart from Salah, 8 points captained up to 16. And then up front, Vardy 2, Kane 5, Ayew 7. So no real standout performances, but all on the score sheet.
You must have been disappointed when West Ham got a goal, causing you to not have a Mawson clean sheet.
Somewhat disappointed, yes.
3 clean sheets. You've picked the right captain, so you've maximised your top scorer as your skipper, and you've got good old Jordan Ayew, the brothers in arms.
Yep. Doing well.
Yeah.
Must be over the moon, Baker. And yet again, Carlos gave us another wonderful analogy, didn't he?
He did, rock and roll.
This week it was rock and roll.
Go on, I didn't hear it. What was it?
Sometimes we listen to the music of other teams. This week we played our own music. We played
rock and roll.
He's such a legend.
Funny little man.
Really entertaining. Breath of fresh air.
And do you know, the great thing is, right, he totally blamed himself for the defeat the week before at Brighton. He said, totally wrong structure, made the wrong changes during the game, can't fault the players, nothing to do with them. I'm going to fix it. Next week, boom. I mean, it could have been 6 or 7. We were that good.
Brilliant. Who did he change?
So during the week before, he completely restructured the midfield and he started the Ayew boys for the first time. He made the change at half time last week, and on reflection, he just didn't have enough fire plan, didn't have the system. But with the Ayew brothers up front, and with Key in a slightly forward position, it just looks great. It looks fantastic.
Shall I tell you something about my overall rank this week?
Yeah, Jeps? Have you done, mate?
It's now at its best point since game week 3.
Very nice.
Which is?
3.3 million.
Okay, well, aside from that, how many places did you climb?
150,000 places.
That's good.
Nice.
So in the team of the week, what could we have done? Could we have had Bernardo Silva? He's on cracking form, isn't he?
He's definitely one to look at now, I think, yeah.
Yeah, one on the list. What about Key?
Just brought him into my draft team.
Yeah, I must admit, look, he scored and once.
He must be cheap as chips.
Yeah, he must be. But he scored once for us this season before the weekend, and I must admit Klukas was the better bet, and that's why I went with him. But yeah, Key scoring for fun. But he kind of passed it from well outside the box.
Key's last 3 weeks, sorry, his last 4 weeks are 8-11-2-13.
Yeah, there you go.
So that's 2 assists and 2 goals in his last 4. Can't argue with that.
No, you can't. Son does it again for Spurs. Oh, 16 points this week, top scorer in the game. Yeah. Butland in nets for Stoke. Who saw that? Top keeper.
I know. Well, they've been looking much better.
It's a funny old dream team, isn't it?
Yeah.
Especially up front. Deeney and Tosin.
Did you see I brought in Deeney into my draft side as well?
Yeah, I did. Thug. I saw that.
Absolute thug of a man.
Yeah. So, in reality, out of that lot, you should have Bernardo Silva on your list.
Mahrez.
You should have Mahrez on your list.
Son.
For sure, and you should have Son. And Alexander-Arnold. If you already haven't got Alexander-Arnold, you need him badly.
He's done well for you, hasn't he, since our little chat?
Yeah, fabulous.
Van der Hoorn has certainly gone from hero to zero, hasn't he? Or zero to hero, being in the team of the week after his abject performance against Brighton.
Yeah, he wasn't that great against Brighton. It was a terrible... terrible penalty, but he was left exposed, to be fair to him. He plays on the right hand side, and Norton wasn't giving him a great deal of protection then at Brighton that weekend. So he was quite frustrated, I think.
So if we revert to the Fantasy Football Noise Mini League, see how that is standing. Should we start? Well, since they're friends of the show, should we start at seventh? Stuart Harrington on 16.99 now. In seventh place. In sixth is Stairsy, who's scored 56 so far, or 56 this game week, sorry. So he's on 17-12.
Stairsy's changed his team name food related once again.
Oh, oh he has, you're right.
Moussa Kwem Dembele.
I like that.
I think he's doing that just for your benefit, Mitch.
Yeah, he's clearly found the feature that allows you to change your name, and he's really sweating that feature, isn't he?
I do like it. All food related. Mm. Food and football players related. That's right.
Pretentious food related, yeah.
In fifth, we've got Mario Moriello, who scored 62 for the week and is on 17-16. Sam Smith in fourth, only with 45 for the week, is on 17-17. A little bit of a gap, a 30-point gap up to not Gary Glitter, Paul Gabb.
Gabbo.
Who is, in third on 17-47. In second, and banging in form, is Matthias Hogberg, who scored 73 points for the week.
Hogberg.
Yeah, I was going to pick you up on the umlaut.
I do apologise, Matthias. Matthias Hogberg. is that correct?
It will do.
I'd go Matthias. Yeah, sure. Matthias Hogberg.
Matthias Hogberg.
Yeah.
Well, if he keeps up the way he's going, he can tell us himself.
Great.
Because he'll be on soon. He's on 17.51. And then in first place, back into first, is Lois Saunders.
Go on, Lois.
She's on 17.55. So it's hotting up at the top.
It's fabulous, isn't it? And looking at...
three of them within 10 points.
Matthias's team. So he very much is the form man. He's got Son, Mahrez, and... yeah.
Kane, Firmino.
Yeah, but Son and Mahrez are his two, I guess, differentials, and those two on the list.
Yeah. Dead right. Absolutely.
That's the difference, isn't it? That's 73 points.
Where is he? He's 10,000th overall rank. Very nice,
doesn't it?
Very nice, too. I have managed to make contact with our February Manager of the Month.
Danny.
Which is Danny Whiting, yeah, and we have confirmed that she's a lady. She was unfortunately unable to join us tonight, but she is all lined up for next Tuesday.
Brilliant.
And that is on account of her, I believe, John, being a Liverpool fan and has gone out to watch the Liverpool game.
Indeed, yes. I was very pleased to find out that information, that she's a Liverpool fan. She's also, it seems like she's also from Stoke, which is where I went to uni. So she said that her brother and her dad are massive Stoke fans, so I jumped to the conclusion that she's probably from Stoke.
Nice one.
And I actually also asked her if she listened to the show, and if so, how did she find us?
What did she say? She listens- no, don't be stupid.
Never heard of it.
My dad made me do it.
Apparently she listens every week. She loves the show, and she found us just by searching Fantasy Football Podcast on iTunes.
Brilliant.
Yes.
And has stayed tuned ever since.
Get in. Well done, Danny Whiting.
And she is more than welcome.
Look forward to speaking to
on the show.
Yeah. And she is currently watching a 0-0 draw, though, between Liverpool and Porto. But there is a goal in the Real Madrid versus PSG game.
Ooh, which way's it gone?
Have PSG pulled one back?
No, it's 1-0 to Real Madrid. Cristiano Ronaldo. And Marco Verratti has been sent off for PSG. Yes. I've got a sneaking suspicion he might be in my side.
So I know we're not going to talk about Champions Draft this week, but I just want to remind you that I ditched all my PSG players after the first leg. I thank you.
Well done, Baker.
You're quite happy with that, shall we?
Yeah. Can I just mention another person in our Fantasy Football Noise League? So also in form and second in the table for March is William Da Costa with the fabulously named Larry of Brest.
I haven't looked at March's current... ooh. So yes, 70 points.
He's got Matic, Lukaku and Aubameyang.
He's got who, sorry?
That's not another name you can't quite say.
Aubameyang. How do you say it?
Have you not heard anyone else say it?
No.
Aubameyang.
Aubameyang. Okay, I can see it now.
How about his first name's Baco? No, his first name's...
I've no idea what his first name is.
Oh, please, you've got to guess.
John.
I'll give you the initials. It's not John Aubameyang, no. I believe it's hyphenated, and you're looking at a P and an E.
Oh, Pierre-Etienne?
Pierre is correct. You'll never in a million years get the middle one.
Oh, I don't know. Evian.
Emmerich.
This is like the kind of bullying you used to do to me at the beginning of the season. I'm glad I have the boots on the other foot now, Baco. Bullying. It's a strong word, and it's a right word.
And I'm enjoying it.
But well done, William Da Costa. And he is a Huddersfield fan. So I'm wondering whether he got Larry of Brest from us or whether Huddersfield fans have worked out that he's called Larry of Brest.
What do you mean? I think we decided, didn't we, that he must have done because his team emerged in our league.
The week after we'd found out he was called Larry of Brest.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay, let's not take away any credit from our Larry of Bresting.
For anyone who may have missed earlier episodes, we discovered that the translation of Laurent de Poitre is Larry of Brest, well, Lawrence of Brest. So yeah, Larry of Brest. There's no way that that's a coincidence that he just happened to call his team name that in the beginning of the season.
Interestingly, William also claims, and he's in the Global League, for South Georgia and the South Sandwich Islands. Now, I don't know the population of that. Perhaps, Mitch, you can Google that. But he's 444th in that league. So he's on form and he's doing great. Oh, he's only joined recently. Okay, fair enough. So I can see he's 5.6 millionth overall.
Yeah, he joined that week, didn't we? It was a brand new team the week that we...
Yeah. Now, this is something about the FPL community out there that I actually only very vaguely understand, and we're going to have to get right for next season. So if you look on Twitter and on the Premier League website, there's a load of people that this season are registered to the Christmas Islands, I believe. And I think before the season started, there was some kind of vote, I believe, on which small country everyone should assign themselves to. And it was like a playoff situation that the Christmas Islands won. So I don't know when that happened, but it was certainly before we started recording. But next season, I think we need to make sure that we also are registered to whichever small outlying country that is decided by the community next season.
Small,
just for the sake of a small
colony.
Number in your global leagues.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah, to try and win a country's league.
Yeah, cool. Did you see the Palace United game last night? That was a good game.
I did. It was a cracking under floodlight. Old school football match, wasn't it?
Yeah, it sounded like a great atmosphere as well. I really, really was just praying they could have held on to it.
Oh, God, no. I really wanted United to win.
Well, of course you did, from a Swansea perspective, but...
Yeah, you really picked that result as well, Baco. As I mentioned to you earlier, I listened to last week's episode this morning, and you said with great confidence, you said, United were definitely going to keep a clean sheet at Palace. Went 2-0 down quite quickly.
2-0 down. But didn't I also have a bet with you? Didn't we have a little wager at the Amex Stadium in Brighton, Mitch?
Oh, is that the one where I very confidently said that Arsenal would definitely win?
Yeah, I think it was.
Arsenal will piss that.
Yes.
You gave me the draw.
That was the one, yeah.
£10, I'll add it into the
I honestly thought that Arsenal's form could not continue so poorly, and I... also
really?
Didn't think that Brighton's... Why? I don't know, really. I just expected them to pull themselves out of it, but they've been fucking hopeless, haven't they? Terrible.
Yeah, really. Really,
I'm absolutely amazed that Wenger's still there. He hangs on and hangs on and hangs on, doesn't he?
How much longer can it go on for, honestly? But we've been saying this for years.
But this season, they're not in the Champions League and their form is abject. You know, it's...
Yeah.
It's even worse than other seasons.
Their sheer lack of effort and commitment is what has sort of been most obvious to me. Not just that the results haven't gone their way or what have you, but I mean, if you just look at the highlights of their performances, they're not pressing, they're not chasing the ball when they lose it, they're not running for each other, they're just flat, awful. They're just not running for the manager, are they?
The last good game I think I remember watching them play was Palace. Did they beat Palace 4-0 a few game weeks back, I think? And they played well in that game, but then I suppose it is only Crystal Palace. But since then, abject performances. So I'm amazed Wenger's still there.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, I'd like him to stay on forever because it's brilliant, because it's one of the top six teams, just not really challenging.
Yeah,
but even I'm getting bored of it now. Even I'm embarrassed for them.
Yeah, Quick news flash, sorry, by the way. I'm looking at a third and fourth screen here. PSG have drawn level against Real Madrid.
Really?
Edinson Cavani.
Oh, prick. Stairsy was trying to give him to me as well. Mind you, he did want Suarez, which I just wasn't prepared to do.
He's got to stick that up his jacksie, hasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
And for our listeners, sorry, by way of reminder, if it's your first week listening, which I hope it is, congratulations for choosing this podcast. We're talking about our draft Champions League competition that we have entered a small league into. So that's why we're so interested.
And we're recording this during the live games that Liverpool and PSG are involved in.
Yeah.
And if you want to follow us on Twitter while we're here, why not follow us at fantasy_noise?
Indeed. I was telling you what, boys, I was thinking it would be nice if our FPL mini league we could get it up to 100.
Well, that
wouldn't that be
nice
if we had 100 people in there? So we've got 60 odd in there now, I think. And if you would like to join our mini league, you can do that. The code that you need to join it is on our Twitter profile page. So yeah, @fantasy_noise on our profile page, there's the code. We'd love you to join us.
And last but not least, all of our managers of the month are invited onto the show as a special guest.
Yeah, and they get a beautiful mug with our compliments.
Branded Fantasy Football Noise mug.
Yeah, not just any old mug out of my fucking cupboard. Yeah.
Just thought I'd clarify.
A mug that I've drunk out of and chipped.
A slightly tea-stained mug that I don't want anymore with a little crack in the handle. Have that.
Now, you know, after one more thing on the weekend, if I can, and I'm just going to get on my high horse. When Eddie Howe said, you never get more than one penalty away from home.
Mm.
Well, we had a penalty on Saturday, and I'm happy to reveal to you and our listeners that was our first cocking penalty of the season.
Mm.
Isn't that telling?
The Swansea never advance into the box of their opponents.
We never cheat.
What a great retort, Mitch. Swansea are so rarely in the opposition's final third.
Oh, I felt so great about announcing that to the nation. You've just shot me down. I feel about that big, Mitch.
Sorry, you do realise that this podcast is built on each of us pissing on each other's bonfires most weeks, don't you? Has that shtick not quite come through to you yet?
Oh, right. That's what this is about.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
So I was quite pleased anyway that Harry Kane didn't score.
I wasn't.
Apart from the fact that obviously I haven't got him and I've stuck with Aguero for the time being. You may have noticed that I added my daughter.
Yes.
She's been showing an interest lately. She's 7, by the way. And she's been showing an interest in fantasy football recently. She's asked to help me edit and listen to the podcast because she sees me doing it.
Brilliant.
I'm like, it's not for little girls, darling. Anyway, I said, you can have a team if you want. She said, can I have a team? I said, yes, you can. So she's got a team, and I put Harry Kane in that. We set it up earlier in the week, fully expected to make numerous more changes to it. Then the snow came, and obviously there was a snow day, and we were just down at the park and never gave it another thought. And Harry Kane was her third sub. Didn't set any captains or anything, so I got off quite lightly.
You got Firmino as captain.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah. She was like, why wasn't Salah my captain? You said we'd have Salah together. I said, yes, Daddy forgot, darling.
So as a result of your errors, she only scored 47 points.
Yeah.
But still could have outscored you if you'd have made some simple changes.
She did outscore me by 1 point.
Oh, yeah.
It is now, incidentally, news flash, chaps, 2-1 to Real Madrid.
Yes.
80th minute goal, Casemiro.
It's all over.
Yeah, that's it.
All over,
Cue the barrage of trading from Stairsy. Before we turn our attention to looking further ahead, I think we should take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll do that. So why don't we do the trivia question now, and then we'll do that after the break.
Is that you, Mitch, this week?
Yes, it is.
Cool. What have you got for us?
And our question this week is, in the Premier League, who are the 7 highest scoring assisters in the history of the Premier League?
Nice.
Very nice.
Shall I give you a little bit of help in terms of the number of assists? Would you like to know that?
Yeah.
So in seventh place,
yeah, sure.
16 assists, going right up to first place, which is 20 assists.
It's quite tight at the top.
Yeah.
16 going all the way up to
20.
20. What a range. Cool. All right, well, we'll give that some thought.
Yeah, see if you can keep...
And the answers will be later in the show.
If you can keep taking the piss when you get them all fucking wrong.
How easy it is to be smug when you're the one asking the fucking questions.
I know.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, welcome back to part two. We'll have the answers to the trivia question a little bit later. But for now, let's quickly look ahead, or not so quickly, because there's quite a lot to ponder. Look ahead at the upcoming game weeks, blanks and doubles. What have you got for us, Steve?
Let's remind the listeners of our situation here. We've got, correct me if I'm wrong, but I've got a free hit and you boys don't. And
That's correct.
Do either of you have your wild card left?
Nope.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, Mitch has got his wild card left. Okay, so I've got a free hit, Mitch's got wild card, and John, you've got fuck all.
No, I've got bench boost and triple captain.
So fuck all.
Yeah, we'll see.
I think we will. So I was going to use my free hit in game week 31, and I was under the impression that you boys weren't, and you were going to have to make some transfers. I'm now rethinking that strategy. So rather than
we talked about it a few weeks ago, and we sort of thought game week 31, it's the obvious time to do it, and then we analysed it last week and thought actually the teams that are left playing, can you build a strong enough case for playing your free hit, for using it then, when there's going to be another blank game week in 35 where more strong teams will probably be involved? So
yeah, definitely. So
that was the toss up.
Yeah, I'm not still not 100% convinced, but I'm going on the basis, on the assumption that I'm not going to play my free hit in game week 31. So let's look at the fixtures. Let's look at the four fixtures in game week 31. Look at what they're doing in game week 30. And seeing if we can work it out. So I've jotted down some notes. So I think we have to go Liverpool, Watford. I think we have to go three Liverpool players, as we discussed last week. Yeah. You're going to need Salah. You're going to need Firmino. You might want Mane, and you might want a defender, right?
Yep. Or Karius, as we also talked upon. I mean, he's only 4.8.
The only problem is you're at Old Trafford on Saturday morning, or Saturday lunchtime, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't already have three Liverpool players, are you going to use your Liverpool sub this weekend? You're probably not. But you need three Liverpool players.
Yeah, not the week to bring him in for, I suppose, if you're thinking defender.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. United are not looking great. I mean, they didn't look great last night for long periods against Palace.
It's true.
They're so defensive. So, I don't know. I guess at Old Trafford it could be a different story against us, but
I'd bet Liverpool. We'll Liverpool see. Are in great form, though, aren't they, at the moment?
Yeah, they really are at the moment. Yeah.
And I think Saturday lunchtime's game is almost a straight hit for second place, isn't it? It's going to take a lot to come back from that, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you lose it.
Massive six-pointer. The definition of a six-pointer.
Okay, so just finishing that fixture, Liverpool-Watford. Do we want any Watford players? Do we expect Watford to do anything in that game?
No, not in that game. I don't think they are a bad shout beyond in game week 32 and 33.
Yeah, I get that.
They're at home to Bournemouth and Burnley. I appreciate we're only looking at the short term for right now, but no.
So we're looking at away at Arsenal and away at Liverpool.
And away at Liverpool, yeah.
So we forget Watford. Okay, so they're out of the equation.
Yeah.
Okay, let's look at the second fixture, Bournemouth-West Brom. So Bournemouth, two home games, although it's Spurs this weekend. And West Brom, they've got Leicester at home this Saturday afternoon, I think. And so away at Bournemouth.
And away at Bournemouth, yeah.
Do we want to bring in a West Brom defender? They've got nothing up top. I'm thinking Dawson. Dawson's had a couple of decent game weeks. Did he get 9 points?
I can't see them keeping a clean sheet against Bournemouth away, though. Can you?
No. Leicester, they're free scoring. They're top of the goal scoring charts in that part of the league in the bottom.
Maybe Brunt if you're desperate. I mean, I don't know.
You've got a bit retro. Corners, you might go Brunt, mightn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I just wouldn't. I would look at anyone from West Brom myself.
Okay, well, let's talk
about
AFC.
Just thinking back
then
to what you said about Watford, I know the game against Liverpool, obviously, you would say not particularly attractive, but with Arsenal being as shit as they are, I wouldn't rule out a move for someone like Doucouré or even Deeney myself, but perhaps we don't agree on that.
No, Doucouré,
I can see them,
I've got him
I can
in
see them scoring
fantasy.
Against Arsenal. I can see them scoring against them.
Yeah.
I went early and I put Dilla Fear in my team, but he's obviously now injured. So,
congrats. Well done, mate.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful. Huh? That was my early preparations and they didn't pay off.
Okay, let's talk about Bournemouth then. So, if we're not going to go West Brom, we must have Bournemouth. So, are we thinking defenders or attackers first?
Home to Spurs, but then they're at home to Watford. Sorry, then they're home to West Brom.
Yeah,
and then
we're talking
Watford
about a game week 31 strategy here. Mm. Do we bring in Bournemouth players, and is it a defender or an attacker that we're thinking about here?
For me, I would say either is fine. I would expect them to win against West Brom at home and keep a clean sheet.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I would.
Callum Wilson.
So I think you bring them in for 31. Yeah, I wouldn't bring them in for the Spurs game.
No.
To be honest, I mean that would be a bold move. I mean they have had some really good games, haven't they? But they are hot and cold.
Yeah. So Gosling's looking at Cook, on fire, isn't he?
Cook and Francis. Yeah, I put Gosling in Emily's team. Yeah, he's quite good, and Lewis Cook as well. He's still playing well. So, yeah, maybe Callum Wilson hasn't scored for a little while, has he?
No, I think we're looking at a Bournemouth defender here, aren't we?
Yeah, but I wouldn't bring him in for 30. I'd just bring him in for 31.
Okay.
So anyone who's playing their wild card or if you're going to take some hits or your free hit, even if you are going to do it that way, I would say, yeah, leave it till 31. And then they've got three strong fixtures.
Done. Right, let's head up to Yorkshire. Let's go Huddersfield Palace. So Huddersfield have got... They've got the Swans on Saturday afternoon in game week 30.
Mm-hmm.
And Palace are away at Stamford Bridge on Saturday evening, as well as being away at Huddersfield. So let's talk about Huddersfield first. So So, who are our form players for Huddersfield? They've had a couple of decent scoring events recently, haven't they? Van La Parra's doing well.
Yeah, indeed. I've just brought him into my draft side, actually.
Yep.
Yeah, let's rank this by form.
I'm a little bit worried to interject at this point because I would be sure to name Brighton players on account of their similar shirts.
Stripy shirts.
Yeah.
I have also, I've brought in Meunier as well into my draft side because of these fixtures, because even though we focus on the double game weeks for the FPL game, obviously it applies across the board. So if our listeners have got, different teams in different formats of the game, so you've got to think about your strategy everywhere. So Mooney's doing well, and they've got, like you said, home games against Swansea and Palace, and even the next two, they're away at Newcastle and Brighton. So they're very good fixtures. So,
couple of Huddersfield players.
Yeah, Huddersfield players, yeah. So you've got Mooney, whose form is 8.3.
Nice.
Van La Parra, his form is 6.3. Pritchard's form is 6.3, although he's got a minor knock, I think. Defensively, they're not so strong at the moment. Schindler's their most in-form defender, and he's on 1.7. But then they have played a few bigger teams, have they not, recently? So they've played Liverpool, United and Spurs in the last five.
Just had a quick look at William Da Costa's team to see if we can get any Huddersfield clues, because remember, he's a Huddersfield
fan.
Yeah,
go on.
He's got fuck all Huddersfield players in his team. Thanks, man.
Maybe he doesn't like to back his own horse.
I had three Swansea players in my team this week. I'm super proud.
Well done.
Just saying. Okay, so a couple of Huddersfield players.
I would consider a move for Lursel, and I would possibly move for Schindler. But who knows? Who knows how that'll go? Swansea and Palace at home. It's a decent bet.
You're thinking, so remember, we've got Liverpool players. We've got maybe a couple of Bournemouth players. Begovic might be on that list as well. So we're going Bournemouth defensive. But you're thinking Lursel might be in nets in game week 31 for you, eh?
Yeah, quite possibly.
Yep.
But then if you are playing a free hit, or if you are looking at Bournemouth player, home game to West Brom, that's the cream of the crop, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
But really, a toss-up between them and Palace in terms of not much goal threat. So either way, you're probably laughing.
Okay, what about Palace? What about Palace? So Palace are at Huddersfield in game week 31. They are at Chelsea on Saturday. Are they a write-off?
I don't think so.
They were decent last time, weren't they? Really well.
They were. Milivojevic is always decent. He's on penalties, of course.
Yeah.
Townsend, I think, is in reasonable form. I was impressed with their new right back as well. Did you see in the game? Did you see him?
No, who was it?
I'm going to get his name wrong. It was a very difficult to say name. It's Wan-Bissaka. Aaron Wan-Bissaka. He's in the game as a midfielder, but I'm pretty sure he was playing at right back for him last night.
Wan-Bissaka, how about that?
I'm going to have to check this. Oh, man of the match.
Boom.
He got man of the match, according to the BBC site.
Wan-Bissaka, you're such a good judge, Jay.
Well, there you go.
So Wan-Bissaka is a free defender, basically. Well,
yeah,
which
that's
is not
good
great.
From a fantasy point of
no,
view, though,
it's
is
not
it?
Not good from a fantasy perspective. So Wan-Bissaka, Milivojevic, how do you say his name?
Have another go.
Milivojevic.
No,
Milivojevic.
Again.
Milivojevic.
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 Milivojevic, yeah.
But quicker.
Or Townsend. Right, boys, last but not least, Stoke Everton. Okay, Stoke have got City at home in the Monday Night Football in game week 30, and Everton are at home to Brighton.
Yeah.
And Everton are in dire form.
They really are, yeah. I mean, again, if you're looking just at the blank game week, I would have no hesitation bringing a few Stoke players in.
Yep.
Obviously, after the City game. But Everton, I don't know. Nice to see Seamus Coleman back. I know he picked up the assist at the weekend.
Yeah.
But I think people thinking that Theo Walcott was going to be a good bet, gone a bit cold, hasn't it?
Yeah. And you love a Stoke attacker. You love a Shaqiri, don't you?
I do love a Shaqiri at the moment, yeah. Absolutely. Even and Bauer picked up the clean sheet, of course, as well, which Mitch would have enjoyed.
Yes. And any Everton players, is there any solace that we can take from Everton? They're at home to Brighton, which on paper is relatively straightforward, although Brighton in good form. And they should at least put up a fight against Stoke in the blank game week, shouldn't they?
Yeah. So, I thought Pickford made quite a lot of good saves. I thought he played quite well, but I just don't think they're a reliable source of clean sheets. So I'd just probably steer clear.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think so, mate. So here's what we need.
We haven't come up with many players, have we?
No, we've got enough. I've marked them down. So we've got three Liverpool players with two attackers, or one midfielder and one attacker. We've got two Huddersfield players. We've got one or two Bournemouth defenders. We've got
No, that's not what we said, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, just for the bank, just for game week 31.
Yeah, just for game week 31, and then work backwards.
Yeah. Okay.
We got nothing from West Brom. We've got nothing from Everton. We've got two from Stoke. A couple of attackers, maybe. A couple of midfielders from Stoke. And one from Watford and Palace. Fuck the rest.
I think it's important to stress that is just really, for most of those, that is just a game week 31 strategy. If you're bringing them in before then, quite a lot of them have got tough fixtures the week before, haven't they? So working it backwards is not necessarily going to work out that well.
So what are you going to do then? You've got no free hit or wild card. What are you going to do?
Going to have to take a couple of hits, probably.
You take the 8-pointer.
Yeah, I think it probably will be. Yeah, maybe. Or I might just lump myself in with half the rest of the country and just field not that many players.
Take an 8-pointer and field 9. That's what you're saying. Sounded like what you're doing here, Jay.
Possibly, yeah, but I will only do that if I'm looking forward as well. So, for example, your Watford players, I would do that with. Bournemouth, Burnley, Huddersfield, Palace, the next four. So, yeah, I would consider doing that. Maybe Mitch, the Huddersfields as well.
Mitch.
Hello.
You've been strangely quiet during this discussion. Do you think we're speaking French?
No. Do you know, I've been listening intently, because I haven't actually... I've kind of planned my game week 31, but not enough yet. So I'm sat here literally staring at the four fixtures in front of me. So I've already got three Liverpool players. I've got two Bournemouth players. So I've got five, and then I've got two free transfers to come. So is that right? Two free transfers? Yeah, I've got the one from this game week, then the one from next. So that'll get me up to seven. So I've then got four places left that I need to fill. So do I go for all of them, or do I just go for the 8 points and get two additionals?
How many would that give you in total in game week 31 if you took the 8-point hit?
That would give me 9 out of the starting 11.
Yeah, same as Jay. So maybe taking an 8-point hit and playing 9 aside.
Yeah, although I have a Crystal Palace player on my bench, which is MacArthur. So actually, that takes me up by one more.
Has he been starting though?
Well, that is the thing. I think he got 2 points last week. So yeah, I think he has been starting. I'd have to have a look at that. So yeah, I could just about scrape together an half decent side, but then I've got my wild card. So I might be inclined to spend some points and see how it goes, I think.
Game week 36 wild card, mate.
Really? Why?
Yeah, that's where it's at.
Well, what I might do is I have to play my game week 31 side and then have a think about it. I think I'd be inclined to play it straight afterwards.
I suppose, boys, the problem with some of the strategy we've been talking about is that you're not really setting yourselves up for the bumper double game week of game week 34. So I think, to Mitch's point, if you've got all these chips left, you really want to try and get past game week 31 with sort of damage limitation and really be focusing on the bonanza that's going to come for a lot of those teams across 34 and 37.
Mm. Well, I've decided while we're on air that I'm going to play my free hit in the blank game week because I've got three players. I've got three Liverpool players and I've got nothing from the other seven teams apart from Calvert-Lewin.
Nothing else, really?
Yeah, nothing else, so... I'm not going to fix that, so I may as well try and capitalise on you lot playing -8, -9 aside, which most of the league's going to be playing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But then yeah, I suppose probability that says that you'll do better, but, you know, how often do we quite often, all our defence draws a blank, so what's the difference between scoring 1 point from a player and zero, really? It's not, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
Not a big swing of points.
But I think we're going to get clean sheets from Liverpool and Bournemouth in that week. So as long as my free hit helps me in that, I'm going to go two Bournemouth defenders, Lurzel in nets, the three Liverpool players I've already got. I'm going to bring in two Stoke, one Palace, one Watford. And that's my free hit done.
I think that's a well-used free hit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be pretty good actually, mate. And then how are you looking forward for game week 34?
So game week 34, so I'm going to have a free transfer from game week 31 that I can invest in game week 32. And then I've got my transfers in game week 33 and 34. Yeah. So I've got four changes that I can make for free.
No.
I've already got a decent side. Yeah, so two changes in game week 32. One change in game week 33, one change in game week 34.
I could be wrong, but I think once you play a chip, you don't carry over any freebies that you may currently have.
Really?
I think I'm right in saying that.
It's Stuart's inquiry there.
Yeah, I think that's...
I think you're right there, JB, yeah.
I think that's the case. So I was just wondering. I was just struggling with your maths, how you're working that out there. So you're just going to... I think if you play a free hit in game week 31... you will only have your standard one a week from 32 and 33.
Well, I need to then make a transfer before I play my free hit in game week 31, don't I? With game week 34 in mind.
Possibly so, yes, absolutely. Oh, it's difficult, isn't it? All this forward planning.
Make my transfer and then play my free hit.
Yeah.
Can't take it away from me then, can they?
That's right. Yeah. So is the Holy Grail the teams that have a double game week in 34 and then don't miss another game? Or do you try to navigate your way through, because there are six teams who have two double game weeks but who don't play in 35? It's starting to hurt my head a bit.
See, I think double game weeks are dangerous. Double game weeks are dangerous unless you get a really, really top player that plays twice and gets, you know, 15 points a game, 30 points over the double game week. That's your honey pot. The problem is you get rotation, you get people being rested, injured.
I'm looking at Leicester. I'm thinking Mahrez and Vardy. Let me tell you, they've got, this is as it stands, game week 30, okay, away to West Brom. Then they blank, as we've discussed, in game week 32. So we've all got our individual strategies for the blank game week 31. Leicester's fixtures after that: away at Brighton, home to Newcastle, away at Burnley, home to Arsenal, who, as we've discussed, not particularly threatening at the moment. So that's the double game week in 34, Burnley and Arsenal. Then they blank in 35, and then they've got away game at Palace. And then in the next double game week, they've got home fixtures against West Ham and Southampton.
Oofed.
So that's quite a good run. And they finish with an away game at Spurs. But if you've got Mahrez, Vardy, maybe all Brighton.
I've literally brought in Mahrez as we've been speaking.
Yeah. I think the potential returns in 34 and 37, allied with the strong fixtures either side of that, almost makes it worth...
Mitch?
The blank in 35.
Leather?
Is your microphone broken?
You are losing me a little bit now, I must confess. I tend to think on rather a shorter time horizon than you chaps. And I kind of don't care at the moment about the double game weeks, because I'm pretty confident I'm going to play my wild card straight after game week 31. So I don't really give a fuck right now. I'm going to give a fuck later. But of course, because John has burned his wild card. Have you burned your free hit as well?
Yep,
you've burned both of those, so all you've got is your triple captain, your bench boost. So you're obsessing over it because you've fucked yourself, whereas I'm sitting pretty, thanks very much, so I'm fine. And I guess most other decent FPL players are probably sitting pretty as well, because they won't have burned their wild cards this early.
Hang on a second. It's the use of the word other that gets me in your sentence there. Other decent fantasy players. And the implication is you are one.
Yeah.
You certainly just, are one, that just but came not out. A decent that fantasy
was,
player.
That was just my latent ego speaking. I didn't even realise I'd said it.
I would like to flag up that you say I've burned my free hit. I did get 70-odd points from the week that I played it, and I was top scorer in the Fantasy Noise Mini League that week, so it moved me up quite a few places. So
very good.
It wasn't like I wasted it.
Okay.
Well,
I'd still like to have it now, but you can only play it once.
There
so
you go.
Let's see how many points you get from your free hit week, both of you.
We shall.
Is that fair comment?
It's very fair comment.
Fair comment. That's the challenge set.
Yeah, indeed. Am I right in saying we've got a mucky story lined up this week, gents? Did you have one, Mitch, from somebody?
Well, less a mucky story, more a mucky timeline that I found on Twitter, which I thought was quite witty. So, would you like me to tell you about it?
Yes. Mucky well, I was just timeline. Ask if there,
I was just going to ask if there was one before we had the answer to the trivia question. But, yeah, give us your story first and we'll do the answers after.
So, I just saw this, a chap called Carlos. Don't know who he is. I think from somewhere in America. Some tweets I saw from him last week. And it starts off on the 25th of February with, "My neighbour kept knocking on my door. I finally opened the door and he told me there's a complete stranger in my garage, passed out." Then goes on.
Oh, I saw that photo. I saw that photo. It was on Twitter.
Yeah, it was on Twitter. Then
I saw the photo.
Later in the day, on the 25th of the 2nd, he tweets, "I'm actually really upset about this whole garage thing. It was my summer spot." He then moves on to say, and this is where it gets real.
Sorry, it was my summer spot?
My summer spot, yeah.
What does that mean?
Know whether that means you open the garage door and you sit in it and you stare out at the lake or something like that. I don't know.
Where he in goes garage. In the summer.
Yeah.
Okay, bear in mind I've seen the photo.
Yeah.
But okay, go on.
The story goes south from here. It says, "Somebody broke in, passed out, shit themselves, shit everywhere. I wish I was kidding." He then goes on to say, "I still can't believe someone broke into my garage and defecated themselves and then passed out. It just sounds so unrealistic." Now, this is the point at which I'm wondering, is this fake? But then the next tweet says, "Just so everyone can get an idea of what happened, a complete stranger broke into my garage and shit himself and passed out. I can't even make this up." And then there's a picture of an adult human with their trousers around their ankles, shit all over themselves, shit all over the trousers and shit all over the garage floor, passed out in this chap's garage. So, I don't know whether it's fake, but I so want it to be real. It's wonderful.
It beggars belief,
it does beg
it?
A belief, yeah. So there you go. Not one of our own mucky stories, but a mucky story I saw online.
I mean, why would you break into someone's garage?
I don't know. Drunk.
Clearly they're off their tits.
Especially as it's a stranger. It's not like someone who was going there to try and find somewhere safe to sleep for the night, to his mate's garage or something. It's just a total stranger. Maybe you got the address wrong or something.
I don't know. I mean, whoever he is.
And on the basis that there's a garage, that's in suburbia, right? That's not in the city centre.
No. The garage looked like a very suburban one.
Yeah.
Mechanical up and over door, etc. Because they're golf clubs.
Yeah. So I'm not sure. I mean, as I look at the picture now, I mean, actually, I'm not certain that's not a female bottom, actually. But
really?
Yeah. And maybe someone can confirm that scene. But anyway, that bottom, whoever it is, covered in feces, has had 27,000 retweets. So
wasn't it wearing boxer shorts, that bottom?
Difficult to say.
So much shit all over it.
Tracksuit bottoms. Hard to tell. With some kind of checky boxers. Could be checky pants, so yeah. Well, take a look. See what you think. It's on our Twitter timeline.
This is great
for
radio, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, perhaps you can retweet it.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Good. Right, shall we have these answers?
I'm so excited.
Let's do it. Right, let's just remind people of the score last week when you did a head-to-head on this. It was 5-3. Although, regrettably, one of our Twitter followers did point out that we got our trivia wrong last week. So
you got our trivia wrong.
Yes.
When we say we... You mean you?
You're the question master. The you have to take responsibility.
Yeah, Harry Kane hasn't only played for Spurs. He apparently played 3 games on loan at Norwich as well. So he doesn't count.
And I did not know that.
No, I did not know that either. Know that.
Did you know that, Baker?
Yeah, I knew it.
Yeah, I knew that.
Yeah.
Bollocks.
Yeah, I see
bullshit.
That when you jumped
I
in.
I remember
last week.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't fucking mention it last week, did you, smart ass?
I remember it now only.
Wanker.
Now only, I've been told.
Right, come on. Who scored these assists?
Reminded.
Top 7 assists.
So you're going to do it penalty shootout style again, Mitch?
I am.
Me against Baker.
I am going to do that. Who went first week? I think you did, John.
Baker.
So Baker, you go first.
No, I think Baker went. No, Baker went first
no,
last
bollocks.
Week.
I'll let loser go first. Go on.
A good man.
Mugs
magnanimous.
Away.
Go on, Jay.
Cesc Fabregas.
You're well done. And shall I tell you a little bonus that you get for that?
Go on.
Little bonus. He's in there twice, so you get 2 points, Jay.
He's
happy
in there
days.
Twice? God.
Yep. 6th in 2007-2008 season with 17 assists, and then again in 2014-15 with 18 assists.
Lovely stuff.
I feel I have an uphill battle as a result of that. I was going to go Arsenal first, but I'm going to go safe. Lampard.
Lampard is in there, 18 in 4-5.
Great. On my list also. Mesut Ozil.
Very good, Jay. That's a nice shout. 19 assists in 15-16.
19,
Are you just looking at the Premier League website now?
No, I'm looking at the notes that I scribbled down at halftime.
Okay.
I've got 6 names scribbled down.
Cross him off my list. Fabregas and Ozil were both on my list.
Mm-hmm.
Next on my list. 3-1 to John.
I've got Giggsy.
Sorry, no.
You saved me 3-1 one there, Baker.
To
he was on my list. Scholesy? Really?
Back to you, Baker.
Not on my list. Thierry Henry.
Thierry Henry, top of the shop, 20 assists
Boom.
In 2002-2003. 3-2 to John. John, your
top
selection.
Top of the shop.
Gerrard?
No, merci. Nope.
I'm
Baker.
Going back to Arsenal. I'm going to go, oh, Santi Cazorla.
No.
Nope.
Bah.
John, still 3-2.
Vieira?
No.
Teddy Sheringham.
How many have you got left to get? 3-2. So 2.
Teddy Sheringham?
Not Teddy Sheringham. No. Back to you, John. Do you want to know which clubs?
Yes.
Shall I give you a clue? 1 clue per club, and then... So whose go is it? John's go. I'll give you the clue of Manchester United.
For both players?
No. For one of them. I'm not giving you both. That gives you too much of an advantage.
Okay, so you're just giving me the clue of United.
Yeah, and I'll reveal the second one when I go over to Baker when you've got this one wrong.
When I've got this one wrong?
Yep.
Yep.
Which
fair.
You surely
okay.
will.
Can I get another clue if I get the Manchester United player right?
You're going to get another clue anyway, Baker.
Thanks, mate.
Ooh.
Okay, John, get this wrong. Come on, chop, chop.
Come on, double quick with the wrongness. Beckham?
No. Manchester yes. United in 92-93, Baker.
Oh, Jesus.
92-93.
All the best.
Thanks, mate.
I really mean it.
Dwight York?
No.
Andy Cole?
No. Right, Baker. Next clue is one of the other players is a Manchester City player.
Hold on a minute. I had a guess then. Didn't realise there was a clue on offer.
Well, not for you, there wasn't. You're in the lead, so you don't get the advantage.
I think you're making up these rules as you go along, but I like
yes.
it. Carry on.
Yes, I am. Baker, Man City.
James Milner?
Fuck's sake, what are you doing? No.
Wait, hold on. I thought we were still going on the United player.
Well, you can do either. There's a Man United and a Man City player. Go wherever you like.
Okay. I'm going to go KDB, which has been on my list all along, but I didn't think he's quite
yes,
got there.
Yes, hooray, at last.
Really?
16-17.
Oh, he's second yeah. on my list, and I suddenly doubted it.
He had 18 assists in 16-17.
So now we need a old Man United player.
Yes.
So an unassailable lead.
But an amazing Man United player.
Cantona.
Correct.
Well done.
Cantona, 16 assists in 92-93.
What was that, 4-3?
Brilliant.
You did get lucky with Fabregas, yes, though, didn't you?
Is that luck? Does that qualify as luck?
Is that luck?
First name I said.
But can you imagine if I'd said, yes, well done, John, Cesc Fabregas, and then we got to the end and said, no, still waiting for one, and then said, no, the answer is Cesc Fabregas. John would have been absolutely fucking apoplectic. Well, I've said him.
Well, maybe I'm apoplectic that you didn't do that, well, now that you've mentioned it.
Apoplectic.
Can you hear in the tone of my voice that I'm apoplectic?
Seething.
In Baco's book, apoplectic means just slightly less camp.
Yes, slightly more stern than normal. All right, guys, well, it's been a very enjoyable show. Are we going to call it a day there? Do you want to do a quick bet, Mitch? Anyone, do you want to give us a banana skin before we go?
Go on, I'll give you a banana skin. Hold on, let's have a look at this fixture list here. Let's have a bloody look at this fixture list.
How about Stoke to beat Man City?
I was just looking at that.
You want to take Stoke, Mitch, and I'll have Man City?
No. Get yourself to fuck, as they say in Scotland. How about you take Arsenal and I'll take Watford?
Yeah, okay. Really? Okay, great.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah,
why
not?
Ask for the draw, Mitch. You know, give me the draw, Baker.
Oh, yeah, can I? You know, I want the draw. I want the draw as well.
No. We've done the bet. You've got Watford, I've got Arsenal. That's us. Thanks, mate.
No. We hadn't shaken. I want the draw. Don't be a cunt.
I'm not being a cunt. That's what we did. You said, I'll have Watford. You have Arsenal.
Great. Yeah, but every single bet we make always means that the underdog gets the draw.
Not every single bet. Only if the person offering it suggests it. And yeah, I think you missed the boat.
That's it. We're done.
Correct.
Go back to the tapes, the bet. But that's an actual bet.
Well, I'm taking the draw.
Well, let's see what happens if it's a draw, shall we?
Shall we?
Let's have a little...
Has anyone got a clue where we are with all these bets, by the way?
Yes.
Just don't worry, the intern will sort it out. Fuck it.
I feel like Baker has about 50 quid up on you, Mitch.
Do realise I'm making these bets assuming they're all completely notional.
No, they're not. They're actual bets.
All right. Well, we'll sort out the bets at the close of season wrap party that we do, wherever that is.
When you're going to listen back to 30 odd episodes.
The intern will.
You stop going on about the fucking intern.
Good luck at Old Trafford on Saturday.
Thanks very much. What's the predictions?
I think it will be 3 each, an absolute belter.
Do you really?
Yep.
I think it will be 2-0 Liverpool.
I'm going to go 2-1 Liverpool. I think it'll be tight. Right, let's leave it there, boys. I've got some editing to do.
Lovely.
All right, speak to you next week.
Ciao.
It's been a pleasure, as ever.
Cheers.
Cue the music.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.